morning, nerds. Welcome to your Saturday edition of the Daily Nerd Brief. My name is Troy Stegner with Talk Nerdy to Me, and I'm going to give you all the nerdy news that is worth knowing. Starting with Sideshow, not a lot new from them going into the weekend, but we do have, for you Game of Thrones fans, a Tyrion Lannister action figure by 3-0. Relatively inexpensive, considering the detail. It's $198. It's on pre-order. You can get a payment plan for that. Expected to come out April through June of 2019. Thing is very detailed. I'm looking at the face. It's just like him on the show. Lots of the clothes are actual cloth clothes. He's even got his Hand of the King brooch there on the shoulder. It's a 6-scale figure, and since he's a dwarf, you know, it only makes it about almost 9 inches tall. But still, it's really, really detailed. You got 8 different interchangeable hands. 2 of those hands will hold the jug and the goblet, because that's what he does, is he drinks and he knows things. And it does come with the jug and the goblet, so you can put him there with his drink in hand. It also has 9 different map markers. Looking at the picture, you got dragons and, you know, the wolves. All the family markers are represented there. Really nice little thing comes with that. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, especially Tyrion Lannister, Peter Dinklage is amazing. So you could pick that up and impress all your Game of Thrones friends for the last season. Put it right there in front of the TV. Charlie's Angels. Yeah, they're doing it again. It's not going to be like it was before. It's supposedly not going to be as campy like with the Drew Barrymore produced one. This one, Elizabeth Banks has gotten, I guess, the rights to produce it. She has cast Kristen Stewart in Charlie's Angels, so she is more likely one of the angels. Hopefully, they're going to be a little more serious with this one instead of the tongue-in-cheek, campy way it was with the two Charlie's Angels under Drew Barrymore. This is slated to come out September 27th of 2019. I don't see anywhere where there says if Elizabeth Banks is going to play one of the angels or not, but I'm pretty sure Kristen Stewart was cast to be one of the angels. We will see. She's the only name I see right now that really stands out to me as being associated with this. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That original, I remember watching that when I was younger, and it scared the crap out of me. They've done several remakes since then. Some were scary, and a few others were just like stupid. So the rights for Texas Chainsaw Massacre is up again. Legendary Entertainment is trying to grab that, and I hope they get it. Legendary Entertainment does really well with those type of scary movies, like with Trick or Treat and Krampus. They did a really good job, so I can see them doing a good job with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're good to see Leatherface again. I don't think we've seen one in a few years. It's been a while. We're due for a good Leatherface. In fact, I think the last one was actually titled Leatherface. So hopefully, cross your fingers, Legendary Entertainment gets that license and we get a really good Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They are working on an Elton John biopic. So far, the working title is Rocket Man. They have cast Tara Egerton? Yeah, anyway, they've cast him to be Elton John. They're looking at May 31st, 2019 for this to come out. It's going to focus on Elton John's beginnings, how he was a prodigy when he was young, you know, at the Royal Academy of Music, how he met Bernie Taupin, and those two just made each other better. They really played off each other well. That's why we have so many hits for Elton John. Bernie Taupin wrote a lot of them. So yeah, Taron Egerton is you know him from Kingsman. He played Eggie in Kingsman. He's going to be the one playing Elton John. We also have Jamie Bell, Richard Madden, and Bryce Dallas Howard that's going to be in this Rocket Man Elton John biopic. I love Elton John's music. I don't know a whole lot about his history. So we're going to get to look behind all the flashy sequins that he has in his public persona and get to see what actually made him the man he is. Bruce Lee, the martial artist, you know, from way back, Green Hornet, and every Black Belt special movie that was good, he obviously had an idea for a TV show series before he died, and I guess it's just now coming to light. It's called, they're going to call it Warrior. It looks like it's coming out on Cinemax. It's going to take place during the Tong Wars in San Francisco during the second half of the 19th century. Somebody immigrates here from China to San Francisco and becomes one of the hatchet men for one of the more powerful Tongs. And a Tong is a Chinese gang. Kind of like Japanese with Yakuza, the Chinese have Tongs. So, you know, he becomes a hitman for one of the biggest Tongs here in San Francisco. And like I said, it's going to be a series on Cinemax inspired by one of Bruce Lee's ideas he had before he, you know, left us wanting more. So look for that on Cinemax. Star Wars Battlefront 2. They are making a few updates. One of those updates is if you watch Clone Wars, the Elite Corps clone troopers are now going to be available to play in Battlefront 2. They're also going to make the Ewok hunt be permanent, and they're changing some of the prices for the different things. The Elite Corps are just... Those clone troopers are like the baddest dudes out there. They're the ones that were on Kashyyyk with Yoda and with Anakin taking back over the planet. Yeah, you really want to play those guys. But what I'm really interested in is the Ewok hunt being permanent. If you haven't played Ewok hunt, wow. It's you get to pick. You can be the stormtroopers on the planet, or you can be on Endor, or you can be the Ewoks. And the idea is, if you're the Ewoks, you want to take out all the stormtroopers, and it's nighttime on Endor. So once you take out a stormtrooper, he respawns as an Ewok. So your numbers get better the more you take out. And if you're the stormtrooper, there's nothing scarier than playing this the Ewok hunt at night with lights off. And you're playing, you know, it's nighttime on Endor, and you're walking around with your rifle with the flashlight, and some little Ewok jumps out from behind a tree with a spear in his hand to take you out. It's frightening. So check out Battlefront 2, new updates, and if you haven't checked out Ewok Hunt, oh God, try it. If you guys remember Fantasy Island, with Ricardo Montalban as, you know, the leader there on Fantasy Island, Mr. Rourke. And he had his little sidekick, Tattoo, who was played by Hervé Villechaize. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Villechaize. Anyway, I used to watch it all the time. It was, people would go to that island to have their wildest fantasies come, you know, come true. And typically they'd find out that they really, you know, he would do something and they would figure out they really didn't want that fantasy that they were looking for, and they would find happiness some other way. It was not a bad show. I liked it. But Hervé Villechaize was an actor and a painter before that, and, you know, had been in other movies. In fact, he was a James Bond villain, I believe, Knick Knack. He rose to prominence because of Fantasy Island, and mostly just the one line when he comes up in the little tower and yells, "Zeppelin, boss, Zeppelin," when they were coming into Fantasy Island. HBO is going to make a Fantasy Island series. That was that big lead in. That's why I took you guys down that path. They are casting Peter Dinklage to be Hervé Villechaize in their HBO series of Fantasy Island. Well, it's not. I take that back. It's not a series. It's going to be a show called My Dinner with Hervé. It's. I just got excited. I'm sorry. It's just going to talk about how Hervé and the struggling journalist Andy Tate, based on a true story, how they helped each other along, based on one night, I guess, in L.A. It's going to be on HBO on October 20th. Sorry if I got you guys excited about a series. I was misreading that. I think it would be a great idea for them to do a series. So if you're listening to HBO, bring us a Fantasy Island weekly series again. And with Peter Dinklage. Shameless. Showtime. Another subscription service. If you've been watching Shameless for the past 8 seasons, and if you haven't, you're really missing out. William Macy or Ed Macy? It's William Macy. Plays the title, you know, the main character, Frank. It's a very dysfunctional family. It's almost over the top, but not quite. It's still believable. 8 seasons. I still can't get enough of it. They're coming back a 9th season with a couple of really big names. I mean, they already have some big names, Amy Rossum and William Macy, but they are going to bring in Katie Sagal, who you probably know her. People my age will remember from Married with Children. She was Peg Bundy. Younger guys and kids, you probably remember her as Gemma on Sons of Anarchy. She will be on Shameless Season 9. She's a psych patient, crazy type lady. So, of course, Frank's attracted to her, and they end up hooking up. And who knows what craziness is going to happen when Frank loves those crazy women for some reason. But that's not all. They're also bringing in Courtney Cox, who is going to be an actress who is kind of got a problem with the booze. And while she's in town, Lip, who is one of the kids, Frank's kids, is hired to be her sober companion. And if trying to keep somebody who is an addict away from the stuff that they're addicted to is a full-time job. They are very inventive and very good at hiding it. So Season 9 of Shameless is coming back Showtime September 9th. Set your DVR. Some Star Wars news. Star Wars Episode 9. We got another casting news here. Dominic Monaghan. You know him from most recently Lost. He was Charlie Pace. But if you go back even farther, he was Mary Brandybuck on the Hobbit series, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They are bringing him in on Lost. They don't know exactly what character he's going to play. They are also bringing in, here's another big name, Carrie Russell. She was big in Felicity and a couple other things, but most recently she was on the show The Americans about the Russian spies here in the U.S. That's another good show. If you haven't watched it, check it out. You can probably pick it up off of Hulu or Netflix. Really good show with Carrie Russell. But she will also be in Star Wars Episode 9. A lot of returning actors and actresses coming to Episode 9. Also, you got Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Kelly Marie Tran, Junis Suetamo, and Billy Lord. That's a lot of the big main characters. They have also announced that Mark Hamill will be reprising his role of Luke Skywalker. Probably, you know, if he's ascended, or maybe a flashback. So I'm not sure, because he did die in this past one. And they're also bringing back Billy Dee Williams to reprise his role of Lando Calrissian. Oh, and, well, Anthony Daniels, but yeah, he's C-3PO. So yeah, Billy Dee Williams will be Lando, and they're going to have Carrie Fisher's character in her, Leia Organa, but she's passed away also. So they've cast someone else to play Princess Leia. Episode 9, going to hit theaters. Got to wait a little while for this one. December 20th of 2019. That's a long time to wait. especially since they're probably not going to be doing any more of those filler movies in between the big major ones, since Han Solo, the Solo Star Wars story, didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do, even though it was a really great movie. Power Rangers. They are really, in the comic books, they're really mixing things up with the Power Rangers. Tommy Oliver was killed. Lord Drakkon is trying to destroy the power grid. So you have all these different, all the different iterations of the Power Rangers from, all the different grids are coming together to try to fight Lord Drakkon. Well, in Go-Go Power Rangers, coming up, they're going to be doing a, and this is the first time I believe they've ever done this. They're changing colors. All the Rangers are going to take on different colors. You're going to see them wearing the colors and the weapons and the Zords that they're not used to. So they're going to have to get used to these things before they take on Lord Drakkon, or he's just going to wipe the floor with them. What another interesting thing is, typically the Pink Ranger was always female. That not so on this one. Go-Go Power Rangers, they're putting Zack in the pink, and they're not making it a punchline either. He's perfectly fine with it. So I'm glad they're getting over that, making fun of the pink female, that whatever. They are mixing up their collars. They're gonna have to get used to this stuff before they take on Lord Drakkon. Oh, and top it all off, Trini and Jason are kind of a thing now. They're kind of hooking up. They like each other. We'll see how that plays out. Probably one of them's gonna die, I'm guessing. If they fall in love, you gotta have some drama. That's my guess. I could be wrong. Still in the comic vein, Venom. We told you a while back he now has wings. He can fly. They're giving you a little backstory on that. On Clintar, which is the planet these symbiotes are from, they were created by a god character named Null. He created all the symbiotes. They were kind of weapons. Because you use that symbiote, it gives you all kinds of crazy power. Null's still alive. He's just been captive in prison for thousands of years on Clintar. Obviously, he's not anymore. He's trying to come around and reclaim all his symbiotes, and they're all over the place. More than just one on Earth that people didn't know about. So, Venom, Null got a hold of him, was trying to. Null is not a good dude. He was trying to cleanse all the good, they call it the light, out of him so that he would be evil again, and he could use him as his weapon instead of being attached to the humans like he is now. You find out that they also had some symbiotes over in Vietnam. The government didn't tell us about. There was a strike force, I guess, that had all symbiotes. This one who Rex Strickland had, you find out Rex Strickland died, and the symbiote was so attached to him, he just morphed into him and lived his life as Rex Strickland. You also find out that this Rex symbiote was not just a normal one. He was part of the Grendel symbiote, which, when all the symbiotes come together, because the symbiotes can merge, when all the Grendel symbiotes came together, they formed a huge dragon monster that's just crazy strong. Venom has this idea that he wants the Rex symbiote to merge with him to help, make him stronger and possibly beat Null, because neither one of those symbiotes want to go back to Null and be a weapon for him. Okay, this is comic book related, but it's also sports related. I thought it was interesting, so I'm going to tell you guys about it. At the French Open, Serena Williams wore a Black Panther inspired cat suit. And if you're not familiar with what a cat suit is, it's basically just a kind of a form-fitting, skin-tight suit, and this one had the long arms and the down to her ankles. It was black and had like a red sash, if I remember correctly. And she didn't wear the girly skirt or anything else. It was just that skin suit, that cat suit, which she said she wore to help prevent blood clots. Which, I guess that kind of makes sense. That's why they put compression socks and compression shirts on people after surgeries a lot of times to keep blood clots from forming. So I can kind of understand that. French Open didn't like that at all. So they are changing the dress code for 2019 to keep her from wearing such a thing again. Google the pictures, man. Google Serena Williams cat suit or Serena Williams Black Panther. You'll see the pictures. I don't know why they're so uptight. I guess they just want to maintain the old girly standard with a you know white shirt and a white skirt. And man, times have changed. If that suit is good, it's not revealing at all. So I'm not sure why they like that. Don't want that. But as it stands right now, French Open will not be allowing that suit to come back in 2019. I thought it looked good. It, you know, if it helped her with mobility and she said, is this for blood clots? I got to believe her. Maybe it's a good idea for all of them to wear that, the compression suit type things. On to a bit of sad news. Younger kids might not know who this is, but Robin Leach died at the age of 76 yesterday. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. That was before MTV Cribs. It was kind of, they would go around and show you all the celebrities or the rich people's houses and the things that they owned and their lifestyle. He was the host for that. He had the iconic phrase, I believe it was champagne wishes and caviar dreams. So us poor people could watch all that stuff and just, you know, dream that we could have the same cool stuff that they did. Yeah, he had a stroke back in November. He was remained in the hospital since then. And just the other day, you know, he did suffer another stroke, which he passed away from. So yeah, the man from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and I believe he had a big hand in getting Entertainment Tonight started, which is another huge celebrity-driven show. Because, you know, Americans, we love celebrities for some reason. We want to know everything about their life. So he helped bring us into their houses and show us how they lived. Rest in peace, Robin Leach. Okay, Ant-Man and the Wasp has been out for a couple months already, domestically. So it just opened this weekend in China. I didn't realize there was such a big gap between it opening in other countries, but obviously it is. In China, they pushed on the first weekend so far, 25 million for the weekend. So that should put them right around the 500 million mark globally. Keep in mind, it hasn't opened in a couple other countries. I believe Japan still has to go. And they usually are a big movie-watching country. China has become one of the big countries now for movies. They've been hitting the box office hard. So Ant-Man and Wasp, with the China opening, they're just under 500. They're expecting around 70 million total out of China for the full run. So that's going to put them well over 500. Marvel movies are just killing it globally. Excuse me. It is set to, you know, outperform the first Ant-Man movie quite a bit. It's a good movie. Go watch Ant-Man. Paul Rudd, great comedic actor. Man never ages. I don't understand how that can happen. But, yeah, it like I said, it's doing well in China. Just opening weekend. It's killing it. Still to open in Japan and probably other handful of other countries, but those are the major ones we're waiting on still. Ant-Man and the Wasp and Marvel movies in general, doing well. DC, take notes. The Defenders. Not the Defenders you saw on Netflix. Those are the new school Defenders. But the original Defenders. Looks like they are teasing that the Defenders are going to get back together. The originals. They've been doing some one-shots called The Best Defense, which is kind of a hint at Defenders. They've done a teaser for the Hulk so far. I believe they just did one for Namor, the Submariner, who is kind of Marvel's answer to Aquaman. Except he's kind of a prick. If you don't like Cyclops, you're really not going to like Namor, because he's even worse. But he's a good character. He's a strong character. And he was one of the original Defenders. The other original Defenders, we have Hulk been teased, Namor's been teased, Doc Strange, and Silver Surfer. And I believe I saw last night or early this morning, some teasers for those two guys with the best defense line on it. So we may be getting the original Defenders back together in comics. That would be amazing. If you had the original Defenders runs were really good. Those characters played very well off each other, a pretty good balance of powers. So Marvel, if you're listening, do something right and bring us the original Defenders. Okay, growing up, there were two things we always wanted to watch, and it was the Guinness World Book of Records. That was probably the most checked out book in the library. And Ripley's Believe It or Not, they used to have a TV show, and people just loved it. It's just like it sounds, Believe It or Not. They're actual true stories and true facts that just sound so crazy that you don't believe they'd be true, but they are. Ripley's, one of those things, Ripley's Believe It or Not is going to return to comic books. Guinness World Book of Records, I'm not sure if they could translate that into a comic book somehow. Maybe a backstory into each one of the Guinness World Book of Records or something. You can have that idea, Zenoscope. That's yours for free. I just gave it away. Zenoscope is going to be publishing this, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Zenoscope, not known for this type of thing. They're typically the scantily clad covered women, scantily clad women covers. But don't get me wrong, the stories inside are really good. It's just that they use that to entice people to buy the comics. So, this is kind of a departure from what they typically do. Not a lot of scantily clad women on the cover, Believe It or Not. And I'm looking at a couple of the covers here. They just look like they have things about the facts on the cover. Zenoscope, I hope they do well with it. I don't know if it's a license or a partnership, but they're going to be doing Ripley's for 2 years. Unless it doesn't sell, then they'll probably stop. But yeah, the Zenoscope, I hope this is a very profitable venture for you guys. I like Ripley's, and I actually like Zenoscope and their story, so hopefully this will catapult them up a little into another echelon on sales. Because, if they don't sell, they can't stay afloat. First issue of Ripley's Believe It or Not is going to be coming out in September this year. That's next month. So, pick up the first issue. Check it out. It should be good. If you like, those crazy facts, and if you remember the old TV show, Ripley's Believe It or Not comic will be for you. Okay, on Flash, I think I might have covered this already, but I'm going to tell you again. They have introduced one of the new villains on season, I believe, 5, is going to be Ragdoll. Ragdoll is this dude who's like triple jointed contortionist type guy, can contort his body into little bitty space and all kinds of weird configurations. The dude, if you watched America's Got Talent, there was a guy on there who was a contortionist, and he would do that thing where he kind of flips over and walks on his hands and feet with his head turned. Oh my, creepy. Dude was creepy. Troy James was his name. They have cast him to be Ragdoll. Perfect choice. He can do all that stuff, no CGI. Ugh. Yeah, you can probably, if you Google his name, put him in YouTube, you'll see. And if that stuff doesn't send a cold shiver down your spine when he does it, and there's something wrong with you. Flash Season 5 begins October 9th. We're going to see a lot more of Ragdoll. They're starting to pull some of Flash's, more obscure rogues gallery, which is cool. I can't wait to see that. We all know the main ones. Let's see some stuff we don't know. Last topic of the day, Walking Dead. Season 9, we have a casting report. They have cast the character of Lydia. If you're not big into Walking Dead lore, Lydia is the daughter of Alpha, who's the leader of the Whisperers, which kind of confirms, hey, Season 9, we're going to see the Whisperers. How else are we going to get Lydia? They hinted around at it in Season 8 with the spikes and stuff, with the heads on the spike. That's how they mark their boundaries. If you cross over into their what they consider their land, over their borders, they will put a hurting on you. And how they and what's weird about the Whisperers, they skin the zombies and wear the skin in order to keep the zombies from attacking them. So they're walking around in dead zombie skin. Yeah, creepy. And yeah, but they're pretty formidable. They in the comics, I believe they infiltrate Hilltop and take out quite a few people before they're pushed back. Lydia is also the love interest of Carl in the comic books, Carl Grimes. They're not going to be able to do that in the show because Carl died season 8. So, I mean, like I said, the comic books and the TV show, a lot of the same characters, a lot of the same plots. They just kind of diverge on how they get to the same result. So, and I'm fine with that because then you don't have the people who've read the books trying to spoil it for all the people watching it on TV. You know, it's kind of like a parallel universe between TV and comics. So season 9, if you like the Whispers in the comics, you're in luck. It looks like they're going to be in season 9. If you never read the comics, you're still in luck because the Whispers are a really good storyline, rivaling that of Negan. In fact, I believe Negan has a part in the Whisper Wars. Season 9, Walking Dead. Looks good. Lydia, new character. Whispers, new group. Set your DVRs to watch it. Like I said, that was the last topic I had for you guys. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like this video. Comment on this video. If you don't like video, you can catch us on our podcast, TalkNerdyPodcast.com. If you're an iOS user or iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a good rating and review. You can find us on almost every podcast platform out there also. If you find one we're not on, let us know so we can get ourselves added to it. I will see all you guys tomorrow. Later, nerds.